Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mills of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is March 1st, 2024. It is Via Dar 2, 2028. We will start our first service of this Sabbath with a song and with a prayer, a thought. And then we'll go into our regular service entitled The Three Requisites by 11 Symbolic Code Number 2 by the V.T. Harlow. We'll just go right on into the study and forego the prayer thought. It says, Hebrews 11, 1, 4, 5, 7, 8, 20, 23, and 31. Now faith in the blood of the everlasting, of the Yahshua, of the everlasting covenant, is the substance of the things hoped for, with the evidence of the things not seen, or by the evidence of the things not seen. By the faith, Abel offered unto the Yahweh a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous. For the Yahweh testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh by the faith in the blood. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Yahweh had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased Yahweh by the faith in the blood of the covenant of the Yahshua. Noah, being warned of the Yahweh of the things not seen as yet, moved with the fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 is a new and living way. They all believed in it back then, and the Old Testament, all the patriarchs and prophets and all the righteous people since Adam and Eve, those that believed in the blood of the everlasting covenant that was introduced to Abraham, introduced to Adam and Eve after they fell, by the faith in the blood of Abraham when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By the faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By the faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By the faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By the faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the faith in the blood, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with the peace. This is what faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant brought in the instances we just read about, that something else must also be needed besides faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant. Numbers 13:20. And be ye of a good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. For the 12 spies whom the Moses sent for the investigation of the Canaan were commanded to be of the good courage. Had all the spies shared in the courage Moses all along had possessed, they would not have been tempted by the unbelief at the time, and not only the 10 disheartened spies, but the whole multitude of the Israel, except 2, who were over 20 years of the age when they came out of the Egypt, died outside of the land of promise because of their lack of courage. What a costly defeat. Here we can also see that it is just as fatal to believe a disheartening report brought by others as it is to make the report. 40 years later, Joshua sent 2 men again to secretly view Canaan, and thus was their report. Joshua 2:23-24. So the 2 men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, a son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them, and they said unto Joshua, "Surely the Yahweh hath delivered into our hands all of the land, for even all of the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." This is the report of these 2 spies. A courageous report it was, for Yahweh's men knew that Yahweh had delivered the land unto them when they saw that the people's hearts had fainted because of them, as is recorded in the testimony of the Rahab, Joshua 2:8-11. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that Yahweh hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And for we have heard how the Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Now there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Yahweh, your Yahweh, he is the Yahweh in the heaven above and the earth beneath. Yea, the inhabitants of the Jericho all lost courage, and that was the beginning of their defeat. Okay. In order for Christians to be victorious, they must possess faith. For Hebrews 11, 12, courage, Joshua 2, action, Exodus 14. Exodus 14, 11 and 16, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in the Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. For the Yahweh shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Here we see a picture of all of Israel with no courage, just at a time when they, too, when they so much needed it. For the solving of their problem did the Yahweh command them to sit down and pray. The command was that they go forward, that Moses first lift his rod and stretch forth his hand to divide the sea, and that the multitude go on through. For all the human reasoning, this command would seem utterly foolish in the face of their predicament, but the Yahweh knew all about it, for he knew what he was doing when he led them there. Too, he was about to bring the past so great an event that it would bring fear upon the heathen, and thus help make possible Yahweh's people taking the land of their promise, as well as to relieve them of the pursuing Egyptians. This lesson shows that the unfallen faith, courage, and action is the cooperation that is required from the converted Christian every advanced step of the way under Yahweh's leading, and always brings success. the Midianites also lost courage, and they were defeated. Yes, discouragement does bring defeat. Discouragement is one of the snares of the devil to bring defeat unto the Yahweh's people if they allow it. In the days of the king Belshazzar, there was a war in which the Medes and the Persians wanted to break through the walls of the Babylon and subdue her under their rule. He recalled that the Babylonians suddenly lost out because they were overconfident. Yes, they had placed all of their confidence in their strong walls. To bring this lesson down to our time, we find from the Holy Writ that the cause of the later sin's downfall is due to the operation of the same principle that through Babylon's defeat, their confidence, yes, they say they are rich in the truth and have need of the more, have no more need. Okay, it says, and have need of no more, although Yahweh says that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Thus they have fallen into the devil's trap for them. In warfare, you know that each side tries to confuse its enemy and breaks their moral with the end in view of the weakening of the enemy attacks the enemy, and thus making its own victory easier. And when they gain their and when they plan their attacks and invasions, they attempt to make them in the place where they think that the enemy would least suspect. In the spiritual warfare, the Christian adversary does not nap. He too seeks his superiority for the breaking down of their courage and moral, and thus make sure to accomplish their defeat, as we saw demonstrated in the examples we have set up today. And do not think for a moment that he is not looking for the vulnerable point in us too, that he might strike and cause our defeat. We could expect his assault upon us to come from the place we least expected. So unless we know what our weakest point is, now how could we know where the devil is getting to going to attack us? Well, the enemy may lay the sin, believe, they have no need of more truth. That they have all the truth that is necessary to get them through the heaven's portal. Although Yahweh has declared that they are in need of everything and are about to be spewed out, Revelation 3:16. Now we really are enriched with the truth if we have studied and assimilated what has been given us, for we have had made available to us the gold that is tried in the fire, that we might be rich, the eyesight that we might see, and the raiment with which we may be covered, Revelation 3, and the eggshell that our way might be lightened, Matthew 25. Therefore, the devil is not going to attack us where he attacks the letter sin, but he will tell us that we are poor in the truth. He will do this in almost any way. For the testimonies I heard some give here last night showed just that. Such testimonies would not spawn courage in anyone, but they rather would bring nothing but discouragement. For anybody to come to a meeting and manifest discouragement, it is a sure sign of his own personal spiritual bankruptcy, his personal defeat. And what kind of daily testimony do you give in your association with others, by the word or by the pen? There's only one road, but it has two sides to it. On the one side are the latest sin saying, "Fear not, everything is all right." I saw some divisions last night on the other side of the road, discouraged with everything. Neither is right, neither is trusting in the Yahweh. 1 Timothy 3:7-8. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued. Yes, the men in Yahweh's service must be able to bring a good report of himself and must not be double-tongued. He must not bring a mixture of good and bad reports, which in nearly every case is calculated to serve his own selfish interests, or it affects his low spiritual condition. And one starts giving bad reports, he is either assuredly failing or falling into a snare of the devil, or it is an index that he is already, already fallen into the snare. James 2:17-20. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, let's go there again. Even so, our faith in the blood of the everlasting coming of Yahshua, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one Yahweh, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua without works is dead? For the only way we can show our faith unto others is by our deeds, our works. What does it mean to confess our faith or our faults one to another? We do that when we make our faults right with those whom we have wrongly influenced. But last night, this is not what we heard in some of the testimonies that were spoken. For the converted Christian always has a good report. He is a man of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, with the courage and works. He is a Davidian indeed. Revelation 12:10-11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our Yahweh and the power of his son Yahshua, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before Yahweh day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. For it is for us to go through with these who shall be given sure and complete victory over the evil one, that none therefore fall into the snare he has set for us. Well, that's the end of that 11 symbolic code number 2. I guess we'll continue on with number 3, 11 symbolic code. I think we just did that. What price the extra oil? We got 11 symbolic code number 3. Okay, it says, the prayer thought, Yahweh has shown me that at the very time that the signs of the times are being fulfilled around us, when we hear, as it were, the tread of the host of heaven fulfilling their mission, men of intelligence, men in responsible positions, they'll be putting rotten timbers in their churches, building material, which is consumable in the day of the Yahweh, and when and which will decide them to be unfit to enter the mansions above. They have refused to let go of their filthy garments. They have clung to them as if they were of the precious value. They will lose heaven and eternity of bliss on account of them. Testimonies to Ministers 446. At the very time that the signs of the time are being fulfilled around us, men will be putting rotten timber into their character instead of improving themselves. Why? Because Satan needs them as his agents. How long will they continue in their evil course? a short time, and then it will all be brought to view. This reading says it is men of the intelligence who are engaged in the Yahweh's service that will be putting the rotten tempers into their characters. This should be a great warning to us, for right now is the time. The servant of the Yahweh is talking about, let us not play the fool. That's the 45 to 51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master has made ruler over his household to give them meat in the due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. For the servant in the ministry, those appointed for the ruling over the household, the church, Yahweh's service, the ministry, are to give meat in the due season, present truth, truth which is applicable for the time in which we are now living, not 1844. For the present truth, 1844 unto our time, was not the institution of the Sabbath or the state of the dead, but they have been truth since the beginning. True, they had been lost sight of the knowledge that since 1844 the judgment of the dead has been in progress in the heavenly sanctuary. This what has constituted present truth since 1844. We were made to understand what was going on in our time, but when the judgment for the living is about to commence, then the judgment for the dead is no longer present truth. Present truth comes only from the Yahweh. Man does not know the seasons, and therefore Yahweh himself must appoint the time for the present truth to be revealed. There is a special blessing promised unto those whom he finds giving meat in the due season. But what was meat in due season in 1844? Most likely would not be meat in due season in 1944. If we do not desire meat in the due season, however, he does not give it to us. That's the 24:47. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. This is speaking of him who faithfully gives meat in the due season. The goods is present truth. We are told in Malachi that before the great and terrible day of the Yahweh, Elijah is to come. Then when Elijah appears, his message will be present truth. He is to warn and prepare Yahweh's people for the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. To be sure, his message will be present truth before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. As much as Noah's message was present truth before the flood, it really will mean the difference between life and death unto Yahweh's people, unto whom it is delivered today as Noah's message meant life and death unto the people in his day. For the verses we have been studying this afternoon show that there are two classes of servants, the faithful and the unfaithful, as the 24:48-51. But in this that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, for yet sure of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion. But the hypocrite, which shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. If the servant says, my master delayeth his coming, it would indicate that he had expected the coming of the Yahshua to occur sooner. For the early pioneers among us as Adventists looked for this imminent coming. But now, the banners we used to see in our churches foretelling his coming and this generation are disappearing. Moreover, we as the people are enjoined for the following of a restricted diet, and because the Yahshua has not come, many are eating and drinking with the drunken, for the Yahshua comes unto such a servant in an hour he does not expect him. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, Matthew 25:1-13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels. With their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, or not so. There shall be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather unto them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
What?
Watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Here is represented a church which believes that the bridegroom is coming, believes in the second coming of the Yahshua. In 1844, the 10 virgins went into the place of the wedding for this coming, 5 of whom took no oil with them, while the other 5 took extra oil with them for the lamps. After it symbolized the heart, and it is one's belief in the truth that lights up the heart. Yes, it is truth which must be edited by the Holy Spirit that gives life. For the message which was meet in due season in 1844 was the truth Sister White brought, of the judgment for the dead, and it was this message which was represented by the oil that was in the lamp. When the ten virgins first went in waiting for the bridegroom to come, the oil that was in the vessels of the five wise virgins must represent an additional truth, something other than what was in the lamps. It is this additional truth which is a supplement to the 1844 truth, and thus supply sufficient light for the time of the coming of the bridegroom. And what must this additional truth be? It must be the truth of the judgment for the living, the last message. In this parable, there's seen great confusion when at last the virgins, all 10 of them, woke up and learned for a certainty that the bridegroom is on his way. Now they all find themselves in the need of light to illuminate the prevailing darkness about them and to light their way to meet the bridegroom. But to the utter and painful realization of the five foolish virgins who had failed to procure extra oil, truth of the judgment for the living, as the five wise did when it was time to do, so are now faced with the terrible darkness. Frantically, they make their pitiful appeal to the five wise virgins that they share their oil with them. Now they are fully awake unto the fact that they had been mistaken in their belief that the message of the judgment for the dead was a sufficient truth to cheer them unto the end. Do you not see that the said spirit of the prophecy should have Do you not see that the old spirit of the prophecy should have already been in our hearts or lamp? And in order to go through successfully unto the coming of the bridegroom, we must also have in our possession and readily accessible to us the additional message mentioned in the early writings 277, the extra oil, the truth of the judgment for the living, the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. Let us say that now we have the extra oil, and these represented by the foolish virgins come to us and plead that we share the oil with them. Would any of us refuse to give it to them? I think we would not. But in the parable, the wise women told the foolish women to go and buy for themselves, for they had only enough oil for their own use. You know the sad story that the foolish were unable to buy the oil and get back before the door was closed. Who are those who sell the oil? And why would not the wise give to the foolish? For the wise told the foolish to go and buy oil, Therefore, the wise must also have had to buy others, for the extra oil, being the additional message, the message of the judgment for the living, must have cost something unto those who have it, and they must have paid something for it. Yes, we had to buy the oil, and we could not buy it from everybody. Many have asked who is eligible to lead in the service of the work. The answer that goes out from Mount Carmel is that anyone not holding a certificate of fellowship cannot be a Davidian teacher. He can listen only, yet just the granting of a certificate of fellowship is a cheap that in itself would have no significance. Who receives the certificate? Those who have personally studied all the message and believe it, those overcoming temptation, those complying with all of the requirements, those who put their treasures where moth and thieves cannot enter, those who keep all the commandments, those who are not flesh eaters, drunkards, or tobacco users, those who do not rob Yahweh of the tithes and offerings. We would freely give literature unto those who ask for it, but that does not give the love. It is only when one appropriates the oil, the truth, unto his everyday living, that the oil becomes transferred into life. It is when one pays this price and thus becomes eligible for the receiving of a certificate signifying he has complied with all of the requirements, that he has the light. Hence, though we can freely hand out tracts, he cannot freely hand out the certificate of fellowship. All the parables showed a different lesson. That is why there are too many parables. The one of the talents shows that we must work, for we are to do destitute our talents. Studying and believing alone does not open the door. We must comply with all the requirements, pay the price, in other words, and we cannot steal the oil. These designed the certificate of fellowship must pay the price. It does take a time and effort. And the individual alone can determine how soon he can get the certificate, for it all depends on how soon he pays the price. We individually must watch and pray and be ready always, for we know not the day and the hour of our personal visitation. To have the steward have bestowed upon us Yahweh's work and sealed for eternity. Therefore, be always, be ready always. Well, this is the end of number 3. 11 symbolic code number 3. This brings in about 50 cell contact. This is the 11th hour calling us, number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.